Parshas Vayera, everyone. My voice is a little gone, so I will try my best. I already made a shakel, so if I drink something in the shir, nobody should suspect me. I try to do that on purpose because I don't like it when people make brachos in the middle of a CD or like whatever it is, because then people wonder, should I answer Amen? Should I not answer Amen? Is it Amen Yisoma? So I just didn't bother. I made my bracha already. If you're listening, I don't know, ask your rabbi. Parak Yichas, Pasuk Yitzayin. Hashem Amar. Hashem said, should I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Kadosh Baruch Hu asking himself a question. I'm going to destroy Sodom. I have two malachim that are on their way to Sodom right now. Gavriel and either Rafal Michal. Right? Rashi says Rafal and the Tosos and Bab Metzia says Michal. And I'm going to destroy Sodom. Should I hide that from Avram? In Yurcha it says, Avram al yoyi el goy gadol v'atzum. Avram is going to be a great and awesome nation. All the nations of the world are going to be blessed through him. So really, do I want Avram to know about this or not? Is it good for Avram to know about this or not? The first thing you got to ask is, who is Avram, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to? The Ramban says he's speaking to the Malachim and Bezin above, or to the two Malachim on their way to Sodom, wondering if there's a point to him telling Avram, you know, what's going on. This is what's called the thought process of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Although we normally are not privy to the thought process to understand what's going on when it comes to stuff like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thought process is already thought through before everything happens in the world. Here, the Torah is telling us that there's something which I wouldn't need to tell Avram, you know, I shouldn't tell Avram Avinu, but maybe I should. There's almost like an involvedness that Avram Avinu has because of his greatness, because he's so awesome. Yes, he could daven for them. Right, it might not work. But nonetheless, is Avram Avinu worthy of me telling this secret to or not? That's the question. The Ol Aryeh, written by Rav Label Katz, says, although we do not see this feel of Avram Avinu being successful, that doesn't mean that it was a waste of everyone's time. And this goes for all of us. Whenever people get together and say Tehillim together, thousands of kapitel Tehillim, when you say that all together, even if the person they're davening for passes away, that doesn't mean it was a waste, that the Tehillim went for naught, that there's nothing there. Somehow, there was a tikkun for that neshama. Perhaps it's for the person they were davening for, and the person they were davening for gets a little bit of an aliyas neshama in Olam Haba. It's possible that's going to happen. Maybe the nifter goes a little bit higher in the Olam HaEmes. In the Olam HaEmes, he's forgiven for certain sins he has because of those Tehillim itself. Maybe it happens for something else later on, for other people. What Avram Avinu's tefillos were able to do, we have no idea. It seemed like it didn't work at the time for Sodom because Sodom and Amora, etc., Adma and Tzvoyim were destroyed. Maybe not the last city, but that seemed to have been because of Lot. But it didn't make a difference. It's an idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's one thing that we know from that, and that Hashem said, if there are 10 tzaddikim in a city, I will not destroy the city because of those 10 tzaddikim. Whatever else Avraham Avinu was not able to accomplish, the fact that he wasn't able to do this, one thing he did is that if Chicago, for example, has 10 tzaddikim living in it, 10 tzaddikim that a Kadosh Baruch Hu consider worthy, then the city will not be destroyed because of those 10. And when, unfortunately, a city is destroyed, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided there weren't 10 tzaddikim in that city. That's an interesting line in and of itself, but that's a tremendous bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avraham Avinu gives us through his tefillos that he makes over here. Yeah, no. I can't answer in general like questions like that. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're dealing with Holocaust questions or things like that. I can't, obviously I'm not going to answer those types of things. But the idea behind it, like what Avram Avinu did.
You're not talking on the Jewish level, Tzadik. You're talking about a general, like Goyish.
Sodom was non-Jewish.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, it could very well be non-Jews. 100%. Yeah, it did not have to be referring to a mitzvah specifically. Or Chaim HaKadosh said, had Avram not performed the mitzvah of Leviah, leading the Malachim out, he never would have been told anything at all. Avram Avinu escorted the Malachim outside of his house, like any host should do for their guests. He walked them out, and he saw that one disappeared, Rafal or Michal. One of them disappeared, while the other two were staring down the city of Sodom. And they realized, right then, he sat there and looked at it and said, Avram Avinu realized, those two Malachim had a job here. And he sat there and he said, what for? What's going on? He wondered. What am I not being told about? That's when Hashem said, should I hide from what I'm going to do? Clearly, he's figuring it out on his own. Something's happening, and Avram Avinu doesn't know. How can I hide it from him anymore? Had Avram Avinu not been there, if he would have gone to sleep that night and not thought about it whatsoever, there never would have been tefillos. Avram never would have been informed. It's because he was malav them. And that tells us, guys, that when you have somebody at your house, a guest at your house, or a guest in your room, a guest in wherever you are, walk them outside of the house. There's a bracha that a person gets, an extra bracha, kilu, like the Shekhinah is resting upon him when you walk somebody outside of the house of your of where it goes. The Moshe Zakenim says there's even a mitzvah of Leviyah. There are some of these, the ideas behind the mitzvah is learned from Avinu itself. If a person is melava another person out of the house and speaks words of Torah with him, which we assume Avinu was certainly doing with the Malachim, then the result is the Shekhinah will be there and will talk to you. That's what we get when we're Melava people and we have that. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemingly appears out of nowhere in order to come to Avraham. You know, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and says, Avinu, you were Melava person, you gave him a little bit of Torah, I'm here to be able to help. That's the idea of what happens. Another lesson learned from over here is that you're even allowed to be Mevatel Torah or Tefillah in order to be Melava your guests. Even if you have a set Torah Seder that you have right then, if you have guests over the house and they need Leviyah, you are allowed to be Mevatul that Torah in order to be Malava your guests out. That's the idea that you've learned from here. Moshe Zakenin says both are right there. What are you going to ask us? So there's a right here. The Chidah says it's normal when someone is walking their guests out, they walk them to the door and begins to go with them a bit until the guests say, no, 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 go back, please. That's enough. And you go with them as, you know, a little bit. There is a halacha by a Rebbe that you bring him all the way back to his place. If it's your Rebbe, you go as far as you can. When my Rosh Shiva was here not too long ago, he was staying at a house about six houses down from me. So I walked him out of my house and walked him back to the house. Three times I got to do it this time. That's what Malava, being Malava a person would be. You go outside your house and you bring him all the way back. That's by a Rebbe Mufuk, or by a special, special person. By somebody who's not your Rebbe, somebody who's on equal power, maybe even a Talmud of yours, you walk to the door, maybe a little bit further. It should even be till he's out of sight. A person could say he's out of sight when he walks out and he walks around the block or something like that. That's a great thing to do. But if the person turns around and says, please, go back, that's enough, I don't need you to go any further. If a person says that, then it is mutter to say, okay, I'm not going to go any further. You can just turn back. You give a quick bracha. The quick bracha is just quickly like, you should be gebenched, you should have a great trip, whatever it is. That's like something you're supposed to do, and that's that. The wording would be lechula shalom, and that's it. This is an amazing little idea. Listen to what happened with Avraham Avinu. The Malachim, Avraham Avinu walked the Malachim out, and he was ready to turn around. He's waiting for the Malachim to say, Avram, go back. But there's a problem. If they tell Avram to go back, what's Avram going to respond with? What's he going to say back? Go in peace. But what were these Malachim about to do? Destroy Sodom. If Avram, you know, tells them go in peace, they can't destroy Sodom. Because the word of a tzaddik is that great, it'll cause them to only go in peace. They won't be able to destroy Sodom. So they didn't say anything to Avram Avinu. So the Malachim are walking, and Avraham Avinu is waiting for the Malachim to say to them, go back, that's enough. But they won't say it to him because they don't want Avraham to say to them, l'chul shalom. So Avraham just keeps walking until they get all the way to the city of Sodom. They're walking for miles and miles and miles. Eventually, when the Malachim need to do their job to destroy Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved and says, Hamachasanim Avraham Yashir Ani Oseh, should I still hide it from Avraham what I'm about to do? What am I supposed to do over here? If I let him keep going, he's not going to let the Malachim destroy Sodom anyway. If they don't say anything, Avraham Avinu's not going back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham and said, Avraham, go back. I'm trying to destroy Sodom. To which Avraham then davened, and that was the whole story. That's how the Chidah puts it through. What's up?
Why didn't Hashem just send them Malachim and an alternative path?
Like, they had to go through Avraham first in order to bring a little bit of chesed within the din for Lot to be saved. That was the idea behind it. So I could go into it, but that's the idea.
Did Hashem really care if Lot was saved or not?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have just been
there. Yeah, and the schus of Avraham was still there. Mati, yeah.
Why did it have to be the same Malachim?
It didn't. Gabriel had to be there in order to get that Midas Adin mixed in with Midas Arachman. By Avraham Avinu being as great as he was, and the Malach that either healed him or told him about Sarah was also permitted to go and save Lot. It was through that schus that Avraham Avinu served them in that way that Lot was able to be saved. So it was sort of like, because of that, therefore this. So that's the idea. It had to be in this order. It couldn't be in any other order. Now Rashi says, Hashem wanted to tell Avraham Avinu what he's about to do with the land of Sodom because Avraham Avinu will eventually inherit this land. Can you imagine? You're going to give a person a gift. He's going to give you a gift, right? And then he scorches a part of it and then gives it over to you. It's not fair. He already told Avraham Avinu he's getting the land of Israel. Well, part of the land of Israel right now is an uninhabitable land of Sodom, of Ne Melach. the salt sea. We can't live in that area. We can't do anything in that area. So because of that, Avinu had to give permission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy part of his land. There had to be reshus given. It couldn't be done otherwise. A huge chunk was going to be taken out. So Targum Yerushalmi and the Rashbam say the exact same thing. You want to take away a piece of my land, you tell me. Now again, nowadays, the Mei Melech, right, the Mei Sodom, the Yama Melech, happens to be an unbelievable tourist site. But in the times of Avraham Avinu, and for many, many, many years, nobody visited. Who visited? Nobody knew. I guess certain people might have known about the properties of, you know, Yama Melech, like mud and stuff like that. I don't even know if I really understand that entirely. But I guess they would understand it eventually. But in order to do it, Avraham Avinu had to get permission. It was his land himself. And Rashi says the second point. Avraham Avinu was also the father of all nations. You can't destroy a nation without asking the father first. If Avraham Avinu truly was the father of everybody, telling everybody what to do, etc., then how can you destroy them without asking Avraham Avinu first? You have to tell him before you do something like that. And in fact, Avraham Avinu had just saved all these people from the four kings about 25 years earlier. You can't just destroy them now over nothing. The Netziv says he was a well-known figure to everybody. Everybody knew Avraham Avinu, and everybody came to him and said, what's going on? Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I destroy the city of Sodom, people are going to wonder why I did it. They're going to go to Avraham Avinu. If Avraham Avinu shrugs his shoulders and said, I don't know, they must have done something bad, then that's going to look bad on everybody else. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to make sure that everybody knows why this is happening and why this happened to them, because they didn't have tzedekim in the city and they didn't do good things in the city, etc. So therefore, he told Avraham Avinu what to do in order to tell people what was going to be later on. The Shach says, Avraham Avinu had no idea these were still malachim. Up until this point, he was still confused. He thought they were actual men. When he saw they were going to Sodom, he began to feel upset. He said, oy vey, I just served men who are going to be evil and going to go to Sodom, and they're going to be in the world of Sodom. The world of Sodom where nobody does good things for other people. That caused him to have charata, that he had just given such good things to these people, obviously were bad people. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him what he was going to do to show him, don't worry, they aren't regular people, these are malachim who are going to destroy Sodom, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to feel bad. That's similar, in a way, to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh above what was going to be. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh said, Avraham Avinu had a serious shiloh that he had been grappling with for a while. Again, we think of Avraham Avinu as a finished product. And he was. He was a finished product with greatness and tzidkus and everything. But that doesn't mean that Avraham Avinu understood everything that was happening. He didn't have the Torah in front of him, which means he may never have known why the Mabul happened. If you would ask Avraham Avinu, why did Hashem destroy the entire world except for eight people only 200 something years ago? It was 400 years ago. 1656 was when the Mabul happened. This is the year around 2050. 2050 around then, right? 2048. You would have asked Avraham Avinu, why 400 years ago did Hashem destroy the world? Why didn't he wait for them to do tshuva? Why not send a Navi? What's Avraham Avinu's response? What's your response? What's your answer? Why did Hashem feel like he had to destroy the world? Because they were evil? There were other evil people. Why does Hashem destroy an entire world? There were no other people that were good at that time. Could there not have been anything? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Avraham Avinu the city of Sodom is a microcosm of what the world was like by the time of the Mabul. The same way in the time of the Mabul, there was destruction because you couldn't find 10 tzaddikim. So too by Sodom, I can't find 10 tzaddikim. That's the only time that mass destruction happens like that. And therefore, something like this has to happen. That's the concept, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that you're learning out from over here. The Alshech gives sort of like a combination between the two, but we don't have to go into it entirely over here. It's just indirectly whatever it is. Ayel Zashachar says from Rabbi Kiva Eger that he writes in Gilyan Ashas and Brachos Dav Yud. Here's what happens. Reb Meir had these Bar Yonim that were living around him. They were terrible people. Every time he walked by, they tried to give him pain. Every time he went in, they tried doing stuff to him. He couldn't stand these people. So he davened to Hashem that they should die. Davened they should die. Reb Meir had a wife. Anybody know Reb Meir's wife's name? Bruria. Bruria was a very big chachamah. Very, very wise woman. She went 300 halachos every day from 300 rabbis. Tremendous, tremendous tzaddikus. The daughter of Rabbi Hanani ben Tradin. Daughter of Rabbi Hanani ben Tradin. So Bruria went up to Reb Meir and said, that's not the way to do things. Don't ask for Rishayim to die. Daven for their sins to die. It doesn't say yitamu chotim min haaretz, that the sinners should be gone from land. It says yitamu chatoim min haaretz, the sins should be gone from land. Daven that they do tshuva. And if they do tshuva, what's the result? What's going to be if they do tshuva? If they do tshuva, then everything will be good. They won't be Rishayim anymore. These guys will be tzaddikim. That's going to be the idea behind it. Says Ayel Shachar, based on this Gilyan Hashas right over here. The Zohar says on that Pasuk, that one should never daven for Rishayim to die. Should never daven for Rishayim to die. Avram Yinu daven for Sodom 6 times for them to be saved, even though he wasn't answered. Even though these people were the antithesis of what he stood for. Nonetheless, he davened for them. And the reason why, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because you never know what's going to be with the Russia in the end. Terach, an evil man, who was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, had an Avram Avinu. If you would have killed Terach because he was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, we wouldn't have an Avram Avinu. Many Rishayim end up birthing great, great Tzadikim. The idea behind it, sometimes there are reasons why the Neshamos of Tzadikim come from such Rishayim. And therefore, says Dayal Shachar, based on this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, do not ever get involved in these types of judgments. Never ask for a Russia to die. Ask for the Russia to do tshuva the same way that Avraham Avinu davened over here for the people who still to be saved. Yaakov Kamenetsky says, listen, this is the parsha that's known as the great parsha of chesed of Avraham Avinu, right? Everybody knows the parsha of chesed. Tell me, what is the chesed of Avraham Avinu in this parsha? What's the chesed? Because what? He served the Malachim, right? Served the Malachim. Guys, he did nothing. The Malachim didn't eat anything. Didn't eat a thing. How is that serving them? He never did a thing. Rashi says they looked like they were eating, but they weren't actually eating. They burned up the food in their mouths. So he never did Achnas Zorchim. So where's the chesed of Avraham Avinu?
Sorry?
I understand. Again, at the end of the day, do we have a single instance of chesed of Avraham Avinu that we can point to and say he did chesed? Not he tried to do chesed. He did chesed. What do you got, Mike?
He brought water for their feet, no?
But what? They didn't need water. They weren't Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So he didn't need water. There's no reason. And by the way, he told them to get the water. He never brought the water. He brought the food, but he never brought the water. What are you going to say?
He made food for them.
Again, he made food for nothing. At the end of the day, there was no Orchim. So I'm just saying, if we think about it, where was Achnas Zorchim? Was there any act of chesed? Now guys, I'm just sitting there, I'm looking at Avraham Avinu, I see a guy who in this week's Parsha kicks out his wife Hagar. Kicks his wife out of his house.
That kid said that's a chesed.
It's pretty impressive. It's a chesed for Sarah, but it's not a chesed. Would anybody define that as a chesed? Like, kick out somebody from your house, that's a chesed? Again, that's how I'm looking at this Parsha. He takes his child and he sacrifices him as a korban. This is the Parsha of chesed? Where is the chesed? Well, Yaakov Kamenetsky asked this question. It's such an obvious question. Where is the chesed that goes through over here? His true chesed, he says, was the fact that he was willing to daven to save people who had no respect for other people at all. The greatest act of chesed that Avraham Avinu ever did was find people that were the exact opposite, the antithesis of what he stood for. He's a man of chesed, a man of everything. And these people don't give food to their neighbors. These people don't help out other people. They steal. They're evil people. They didn't learn from him. They wouldn't take anything from him. They owe him everything. He saved them from the 4 kings, these 5 kings of Sodom. And they do nothing like him. And nonetheless, Avraham Avinu gets up as soon as he hears about it. He doesn't sit there for a second and say, oh, Sodom, yeah, they are pretty evil. He immediately gets up and says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu saved them. And then he does it again. He does it to the point where he has to say to God, I know you're angry with me. Please don't get too angry. God is angry at him for arguing vehemently against everything he was doing. Can you imagine that? That's true chesed. The chesed is not the achnas zorchim in the beginning of the parsha. It's not anything else but this, says Rav Yaakov. The fact that he's willing to daven for such people. And I'm asking you, do you daven for people who do things against your will? Who go up against you? Your enemies. Do you daven for them? I have a person that I'm davening for who I personally had a rift with not too long ago. Can't tell you he's my enemy. Like, I don't think of us as mortal enemies. As we walk down the street, we like shake our arms at each other. A person who I'm definitely not happy about. And I daven for him every single day in order for him to have a child. It's something that I know. It's something that I know I need to work on because what am I going to do? And I'll tell you, there's nothing else in the world that you will be able to hide as much as who you're davening for. No one will ever know if you and you're in the middle of your Shemone Esrei end up davening for somebody else. They'll never know. You could tell them afterward, oh, Avi, I was davening for you. Ephraim, I was davening for you. They're not going to know. How are they going to know? Only you know who you're davening for. And you can daven for whoever you want. You can daven for your greatest enemies and help them out. And says Rav Yaakov, that is the ultimate chesed. That's why this parsha is called the chesed of Avram Avinu. Because it led to this point of the parsha right there. Then everything else that comes afterward, you see, he didn't kick Hagar out because he was mad. He didn't kick Hagar out because he was a mean guy. He's a man who's willing to daven for his enemies. But he understood this is what Hashem wants, and therefore he did it. This is not a guy who wants to sacrifice his kid. I know a lot of people that would want to kill their kid. But Avram Avinu was not like that. Avram Avinu was not a guy who sees his kid and it's like, sacrifice my kid. Oh, tear, okay. Like, there are lots of people who can do that. But Avram Avinu was sitting there and saying, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And still he does it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do it. Once you have the basis, this is a man of chesed, then you can understand the rest of the parsha where he has to kick Hagar out or where he's willing to sacrifice his kid. It's only once you have that as the base where you can understand the rest
of it. Why does davening... In this definition, why does it constitute chesed? I mean, you're saying that washing the feet or feeding them or whatever it is not really chesed. It would seem that davening is also somewhat ethereal and not really a tangible chesed.
I hear you. Nonetheless, davening, I think the point behind davening is to believe that it's real. That is the point, to get to davening, where it's something that's mamish in my hands and I'm doing. And once you come to that point, then it's no longer... Is it ethereal? I always thought it was ethereal.
Ethereal.
Ethereal?
Ethereal.
Ethereal? Thank you. I'm just a reader. Ethereal. I'm not a pronouncer, right? Ethereal. So I always thought that it was more than that. It has to be. You have to make your davening into more than just that. I think that's exactly
saying,
the point.
It's not like a tangible. It is.
It should be.
You're not helping the old lady across the street.
It should be tangible. It should be that tangible. I think that's the point behind it. It should be that way. What's up? Great question, Mati. I had that exact question, Rav Yaakov. The same way that you're saying that he never did chesed, he never davened for them. And that, I think we go back to the original with the Ol Aryeh. His davening worked. We have no idea how. Maybe it was to allow for the neshamos of Dor Sodom, of that generation, to become the neshamos of Dor Adas Korach. Maybe, because those neshamos eventually became the people of Korach. Maybe his tefillah turned them into Jews. Maybe he turned him into his own children later on. Perhaps there's something that they got. I have absolutely no idea. But I believe, and I believe this is true, there was an effect that his tefillah had on the people of Sodom. We just didn't see it. It was not through letting them live. It's something else that happened. That's a great, great question, though. A better question than an answer. Yeah.
Does that mean that they got to be they get killed again?
They had a choice. They had the choice. First of all, I've said this before. I am so willing to die among the Adas Korach to have been around Moshe Rabbeinu. To be able to see Moshe Rabbeinu live in the Anani HaKavod, eat the mun and drink the Be'er Miriam, right? I would die like them. Again, I hope I wouldn't. But regardless, I would love to have... That's my life and my death. Awesome. I'd do that a billion times over. So yes, 100%. To be able to get the opportunity to be someone in the Dor Dea, I would kill to do that. And maybe I was. I have absolutely no idea. I don't remember it. No. That's what I would tell you over there. There is a sworn over here as well. We'll skip it for right now. The Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Avram would also know the great level that tzaddikim are on, that they have the ability to save people from being destroyed just by being around. I think that's part of the point over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Avram and said, I need you to daven. Although he didn't say it directly, Avram understood when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that Sodom is going to be destroyed, the immediate reaction is, oh, I can daven for them. That's something that Avram understands, and great tzaddikim understand as well. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Yihyeh, Hayo Yihyeh, Legoy Gadol, he is the gematria of 30. He hints, there are 30 tzaddikim in every generation that are as great as Avram Avinu, Yerushalmi Avodah Zarah says this in Beis Aleph, who allow the world to continue to run. 30 tzaddikim in the world. The Avram Hayo Yieh is the same gematria as Lamed Tzaddikim Hayu. There were Lamed Tzaddikim around there. Now guys, what's the problem with the Lamed Tzaddikim? Is it Lamed Vav? The 36 Tzaddikim, right? By the way, as a side note, I don't know where we get the idea of Lamed Vav hidden Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim Yistarim. Maybe that's written somewhere, maybe I totally missed it. I didn't see that in the Gemara. Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, Lamed Tzaddikim, that it's mentioned. But Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, I don't know what it is. The Yelis HaShachar, Rav Steinman says, if these 30 Tzaddikim are supposed to be as great as Avram Avinu in every generation, then why do we dive into the schus of the Avos if there are 30 tzaddikim in our generation that are as great as Avram Avinu? Meaning, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, in every generation, there's 30 people who are always around who are as great as Avram Avinu. Great! So those people we should dive into. We should dive into those, or not two, but for them, it save us in their schus. There's 30 of them alive today. A Rav Chaim Knievsky, a Rav Yehuda Lefkowitz, a Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, somebody like that, they're alive. So let's dive in to be saved in the schus of them. It's got to be that the schus of the Avos is even different. That even though they're dead, their power is as great or greater than the 30 tzaddikim that are alive. It seems that that's hinted to over here as well. Now, I will tell you, where does 36 tzaddikim come from? Sukkah Memhei Omabez. Sukkah Memhei Omabez says there are 36 tzaddikim that keep the world running. Again, I don't remember it, but maybe there's a parish and I just don't know it, that says that the 36 tzaddikim are hidden. I just don't know. In all Hasidic stories, the 36 tzaddikim are hidden. In every single one. That tells me they're probably not hidden. I would assume that they're revealed somewhere and everybody knows who they are. That's just the way that I think it is. I just don't understand why they would be hidden. I don't know why. In our generation, we need people like this. It's not the time for people to be like hiding in a hole and like going around somewhere and like pop up and be like, yo, it's me, like going around. If you're one of the 36 guys, you should be standing up and telling people, I am one of the 36. Follow me, let's bring Mashiach. I think that would be the greatest thing in the world. I don't understand that at all. I am not one of them. That I can guarantee you. I promise that. That I think you would know. So that's not happening. In Chulin Tzadi Beis, there are 45 of them. 30 live in Eretz Yisrael, 15 in Chutz Laaretz. Some say it's the opposite. 30 in Chutz Laaretz, 15 in Eretz Yisrael. It seems like they're different drashos. Yalkut Ruvani number 83 says there are 18 in Eretz Yisrael, 12 in Chutz Laaretz, and that's the 30 over there. Torah Shleima brings it up as well. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea whether it's 30, 36, 45, how to put those drashos together. I don't know. Well, it's definitely up gematrias. Yeah. The Baal HaTorah and the Rabbi Noah Prime says that's 30. Lamed Vav is because of the word low. Halichos Olam low. The ways of the world are low, Lamed Vav. So it's for the 36 tzaddikim. The 45 I forget, but that's brought down over there as well. This idea is brought down by the Medrash Nelam. If you've never heard this Medrash, this is the craziest Medrash Nelam I've ever heard. Technically, it's Yalkut Ruvani number 82. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai walked outside and he saw that the world got very dark. He didn't understand it. Why is the world very dark? Why isn't there light outside? So he went to see what's wrong and he saw a malach who was holding up a massive mountain and spewing forth 30 bolts of flames from his mouth. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai asked him what he was doing, and he said, I guess, in between bolts, right? He said, I am going to destroy the world because we can't find 30 tzaddikim on the level of Avram Avinu in this generation. Can you imagine Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's generation? They couldn't find 30 tzaddikim, let alone ours, right? So there weren't 30 tzaddikim. Rav Shimon told the Malach, go back to Hashem and tell Hashem that since I'm still alive, as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, you cannot destroy the world. That's awesome. Okay, that is a boss. That is absolutely a boss. The Malach went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spoke to Hashem, and said, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go back down, don't listen to him, destroy the world anyway. So the Malach came back down. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was privy to that conversation. He went right up to the Malach and said, if you do anything right now, I'm going to banish you to the world of Azah and Azoil. You'll never get out. You'll never find your way back to Shemayim. So therefore, go back and say the following. If there's not 30 tzaddikim, then there's 20. If there's not 20, then there's 10. If there's not 10, then there's me and my son. And if there's not my son, then there's just me. Tzaddik yisod olam. A tzaddik can be the foundation of the entire world, so the whole world can rest on my shoulders, and it'll be fine. That's the greatest. There's no one like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. A baskol came down from Shemayim and said, you were mevatel the gzera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world will continue to exist. It's an unbelievable maisa. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, there is a line like this where he says, I forgot where it is, it's in Shabbos, I think, where he says, if it's not, there are, oh, it's in Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Sadi is something, right, where he says that there's so X amount of tzaddikim in the world, and if there's not them, if they don't have them, there's at least, he turns to Rabbi Elazar Shimon and he said, there's me and you. Right? There's at least us. At least we get to be around. the idea behind it, but this is unbelievable. The 30 tzaddikim. Clearly. I mean, that's absolutely clear. Panim Yafo says, the truth is that Sodom should have been saved just by being in the proximity of such a tzaddik like Avram Avinu. You shouldn't have to do. His sitkus should have been able to cover everybody around there. But the problem was, what was Sodom known for? Zenene v'zelo chaser. What would the Sodomites do? What would these people do? They would go up to people and they would take one little thing. You say, I'm benefiting. You're not losing out. It's less than a penny. So I'll take an apple. You're not losing anything. I'll take a little piece of celery. I'll take a little piece of lettuce. So it's not so bad if one guy does it, Ellie. But what if 100 people do it? Then what happens to the guy who's selling everything in the shuk? He loses all of his money. That's what ends up happening. Because each guy took something that's less than a penny. Zenen of Zelo Chaser is what destroyed Sodom. The reason why a tzaddik is able to save a city is because Zenene, the guy is benefiting, v'zelochasu, the tzaddik doesn't lose anything from it. The tzaddik's greatness does not go down because he's able to save a city. If their midas ra was Zenene v'zelochasu, using it in the bad way, Avinu cannot save them through a midah of Zenene v'zelochasu. That's the idea behind what was supposed to be over here. There's a Kedusha Rim over here as well. Let's skip. Until now, we've given reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell him. Why wouldn't he tell him? What was wrong with telling Avram Avinu? Let's say you wouldn't have told him. What would be so bad about telling Avram Avinu? What's the worst thing that could happen? So it's possible. We talked about this before. When did Noach have his kids? At what age did Noach start having children? 500, right? Here's the problem. When was that Noach first told that he had to build a mabul? Build a teva? 120
years later.
120 years earlier than 600. So how old is he when he was told to make the teva? 480. But he didn't start having kids until 500. Noach knew he was living in a generation where everybody was going to be destroyed. He refused to have kids because he didn't want them growing up among the other people. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid of is that if Avram Avinu knew that Sodom was going to be destroyed, Avram Avinu possibly would push off having children even further. He'd say, you know what? I don't want children in a world where these people are going to be destroyed. Maybe I should wait until I'm older, until I'm more established, and then I should have kids. Says the Belzer Rebbe, you never have to worry about that with Avram Avinu. Hamachasanim Avram Hashem and Yosef. I didn't tell Noach until he was older because I was worried about what he would do. Avram Avinu is a different person. Avinu is not going to waste his time. Avinu will be perfectly fine with this. That was the idea behind it. There's a Tiferes Yonason over here as well. Tiferes Yonason says there was a Gzar Din out. Maybe Avram Avinu would be able to destroy. Now we get to Mamish. Like, I feel this is one of the greatest vorts that I've ever seen before in my life. Lachsam Silver says in his introduction to Shilas Hachuvah's Yoredeya, in his Pituche Chosam, it's like his Pesach, he gets up and he says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have such a suffix? He looks at Avram Avinu and says, maybe I should tell him, maybe I shouldn't tell him. What does that mean that God has a suffix whether to tell him or not? Either tell him or not. You don't have to have the discussion. That doesn't make any sense. Why would there have to be a discussion here? And he says the following. He says, Avram Avinu did not deserve to be told about what was going to be with Sodom. You know why? Avram Avinu was not on a high level of Nevuah. You know why he wasn't on a high level of Nevuah? In order to be a Navi, you need something called Yisbodidus. You know what Yisbodidus is? You have to sit on your own. You have to build yourself up. You have to work on yourself to become greater and greater and greater. And you have to do that time after time after time again. Chanoch became the great Malach that he became because he spent years and years and years by himself learning and learning and learning to be able to get himself to the level where he was Chanoch the Malach. You have to get there at some point. So Avram Avinu never did that. He never did Yisbodidus. Was he a Navi? Definitely. But you know who was a greater Navi than him? Who was a greater Navi than him? Sorry, Menu. You know why? Because Avram Avinu never had time to do Yisbodidus. What was Avram Avinu doing every day? He was going up to people and asking them to learn the Aleph Beis. Avram Avinu was wasting his time, and forgive me for saying this because this is a crazy line, but wasting his time being a Cheder Rebbe. He's finding people who don't know Aleph Beis and teaching them Aleph Beis. He's finding people who have never made brachos before and teaching them how to make brachos. He's wasting his valuable time. If Avram Avinu was given the opportunity to sit and learn, he probably would have been able to come up with the entire words of the Torah by himself. He wouldn't need a Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the Torah down from Har Sinai. Avram Avinu was a super genius. And a super genius doesn't need to do other things. What he should have done is start working on himself. Do it for yourself. Be misbodied. Work on yourself. Do everything yourself. And build yourself up. What in the world are you wasting your time with other people for? These good for nothings that you're doing everything for. Why would you do that? And you know what the answer is? Avinu knew that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him was to sacrifice what was better for him for everybody else. Avram Avinu could have been as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, if not greater. Avram Avinu could have been the greatest Navi of all time. And Avraham Avinu said, I don't care. I don't want it. I'd rather teach people Aleph Beis. I'd rather give people a lower level. The Chassam Sofer, without a question, was talking about himself. I think the Chassam Sofer had to waste his time teaching Talmidim. He had a great yeshiva in Pressburg. He was the Rav of a town. I think the Chassam Sofer needed to waste his time teaching Talmidim. If you give the Chassam Sofer an hour in a room where he had no responsibilities, the Chassam Sofer would come up with the greatest Divrei Torah of all time. The Chassam Sofer would be able to delve into the depths of any Masechta. He'd be able to understand everything to its fullest. So why is he wasting his time? The Chassam Sofer doesn't say this about himself. I'm saying it about the Chassam Sofer. It's because the Chassam Sofer understood what his job was. He had to be there for the people. His job was not there to be misvoted. We talked about the Lamed Vav, hidden tzaddikim. The Chassam Sofer said, this is not what we do. Avinu doesn't do this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at him and said, look, he's not on the level to get this Nevuah. He doesn't deserve to get this Nevuah. But how could I hide from Avram what I want to do? The only reason why he's not on that level is why, Jason? Why? Because he's doing it for me. He's working for me. If not for me, says Hashem, he would be on the level to get this. So how could I not give him what he deserves, even though he never got to that level? So he looked at it. It was mamish a discussion. Should I give it to him? He doesn't deserve it. But on the other hand, why doesn't he deserve it? Because of me. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to him. Hamachas ani mevram yasher ani osa. And in that sense, says the Chassam Sofer in other places, when a person, chas v'shalom, passes away at a young age, before their full age, you get the zchuyos of all the mitzvos you weren't able to do. Because is it your fault that a Kaddish Baruch Hu took you out of the world before your time? It's not your fault. So all the mitzvos that you would do later on in your life, you'll get all of them. The Averos, you didn't do them. You don't get punished for things you didn't do. But you'll get rewarded for things you didn't do. That's the, you can call it like a schus, something that a person can have. And we get it from this idea that the Chassam Sofer mentions over here, the idea behind what it means by Amachasani Me'avram. Oh man, I should have left more time for this. I have 6 minutes and I don't have enough time to say it. I'm just going to go mamish like really, really quickly. Rash says, Hayoyi has a bracha. And he says, based on this idea itself, Zecher Tzadik LeBracha, that every time you mention a Tzadik, you should mention him for good and you should give him a bracha every time you say his name. You say Avraham Avinu's name, you should say, oh, what a Tzadik, this is bracha. Hayo Yiyeh LeGoy Gadol, he's going to be a great nation and something like that. We learned that out from right over here. Rabbi Nebuchai says he's the perfect person to praise because he treats himself like dirt. He thinks, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, I am dirt and dust. Therefore, he's the person that you can praise and say you're an awesome person. Tosefes Bracha, Rabbi Baruch Epstein says, it's a massive pella. Who do you say Zecher Tzadik LeBracha for? When do you say the word Zatzal? When do you say that by? Person who's dead. Do we ever say it by somebody who's alive? But the words Zecher Tzadik LeBracha are based on this pasuk of Al-Yo Yiyeh LeGoy Gadol, which is talking about Avraham Avinu, who's still alive. The whole line of Zecher Tzadik LeBracha is over there. Number two, it's also strange. Zecher Tzadik LeBracha shouldn't be just Zecher Tzadik LeBracha. What should you do? Should actually give him a bracha. Why in the world do we say, let's say, for example, the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal? You say, the Chafetz Chaim, who was a massive tzaddik. You should say something good about that person, not just say Zecher Tzadik LeBracha, we remember the tzaddik for good. You should mention the bracha. Why don't we do that? Tefes Bracha says, number one, why don't we, every time you say Reb Chaim Kanievsky's name, you say Reb Chaim Kanievsky may live with tremendous good health. Why don't you do that? Right? That's one. Number two, when you're talking about a dead person, why does it even apply? Zecher Tzadik LeBracha technically only applies by people who are alive. We only see it by Avraham Avinu more than anything else. It says, we do see it by people that write a letter. When you write a letter and you write somebody's name in the letter, what do you write at the end of the letter? Does anybody know? You write something, you write? Amush, Ayin Mem Vav Shin, Admeyav Esrim, right? Maybe you'll write, instead you'll write Shlita, Sheyizku Liyamim Tovim Aruchim, something like that. Maybe you'll say something like Neru Yichye Nun Yud, right? Or something like that. The reason why we do this is that's Mamish Abracha. When you mention someone's name and he's a tzaddik, you should mention a real bracha along with it. If you're going to do that, you should go ahead and do that. Maybe that's why, but it doesn't make any sense because we should do it when a person is just talking as well. Why don't we do that? Torah Tamima says it is actually brought down. Whenever Rav Chisda mentioned the name of Rav, he would say, Hamakum Yeh Bezro. Hashem should help him. Hamakum Yeh Bezro. He said it every time. He did it in Bechoros Memhei and Nidah Mem Tesem Abeis. In Yemen, they used the words Allah Shalom for people that were alive. What do you use Olav HaShalom for? Somebody that dies. You shouldn't. You should use it for someone that's alive. In Yemen, they used to do it, says the Tosafos, Torah to Mima. The Mari Mintz, Shiloh's Jewish Mari Mintz, mentions that he heard that people put others in cherem for mentioning a rabbi's name and not saying a real bracha afterward. Did you hear that? It's unbelievable. So what's pshat? Why don't we do it? So I found Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz. Tiferes Yonason says, it's possible. You only bless the tzaddik when you feel that mentioning his name will cause a kitrug otherwise. If you mention a tzaddik's name, and there's going to be an accusation in Shemayim because you mentioned his name, that's when you make an immediate bracha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about Avram, I'm going to tell him what's happening in Sodom, the Malachim immediately got up and said, why should you tell Avram Avinu? And at that moment, when an accusation went out in Shemayim, what did Hashem do? He gave him a bracha. Says Rav Yonason Eibshitz, only when you mention that tzaddik's name in a way where somebody could think it's a bad thing, do you give him a bracha. So if I mention Rav Chaim Knievsky's name, Stam, I don't have to add on a bracha. Because there's no kitruk, no accusation happening when I just mention his name. However, if I mention his name in such a way that people could think something badly about him, then I have to say Rav Chaim Knievsky, I don't want to say Olav HaShalom because that's not what we do. But Rav Chaim Knievsky, Nero Yechya. May his light continue to exist. May he live hundreds of years. You can say such a thing, and that's the idea behind it. There's so much more behind it. But I think that's the push-up shot behind that. All right, we're going to have to stop with this, guys. There's a tremendous story of the Chavetz Chaim, but that's for later. Have a great Shabbos.